This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis riding out again on Old Dan on this gracious day the Lord has given us. Maybe nighttime where you hear him, but we go out at night too. The Old Trailblazer go up and down the land on the Old Dan, horse Dan, with his saddlebag behind him and his Bible in his saddlebag, maybe a sandwich or two. And maybe his old pistol, so if some kind of a varmint came out on the road after him, he'd go ahead and shoot the old varmint. But this is the Old Trailblazer, Pastor Albert Pendarvis, bringing you another study from God's Word on the book of Revelation. We're coming down close to the end, got maybe a dozen more studies, and we'll pick up another study at that time. But let me give you my mailing address. Hardly ever I do that, I forget to do it. It's the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250. New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Also, I'd like to remind you that this whole series on the Revelation is in print, printed form. Pastor Shelton brought these messages 50, 60 years ago, and I picked them up, took them and gleaned out of them, gleaned the notes and the outlines, and we have them in print. And if you'd like, I'd be glad to send them to you free and postpaid. Many folks have done that. Also, I want to give you my email address. It's Pastor@radiomissions.org. And then our bookstore, we're going on with the bookstore after the move here to Baton Rouge. We're just doing mail order. Mail order, phone order, and email order. So if you call us, you look up our website there. The phone number's there. I'm going to get it and bring it in here in the studio so I can give it to you. But it's on the website there. And we have an answering service, and a girl will take your number and call you back. And then the website is radiomissions.org. We're continuing our study there in the 16th chapter of Revelation, and we're looking at that phrase, they repented not to give God the glory. Oh, listen, they repented not, and we came down there to where the Lord was, where we were looking at true repentance. True repentance gives God the glory, because the sinner who repents gives the glory to the righteousness of God in His law. The awakened sinner who truly repents says, Lord, I hate sin. I do not quarrel with the law, for it is just and good. Thy judgments are true and righteous altogether. Lord, the fault is with me, not with the Lord. I'm guilty. I was wrong. It's not my brother, not my sister, not it's me, O Lord. It's not my mama, not my papa, but it's me, O Lord. I'm wrong. I'm the sinner. Whatever becomes of me matters not. But, O God, O Lord, thy law is right. Though it condemns me, I find no fault with thee. I am lost and condemned to die, and I find no fault. The righteousness that your law commands and demands, I cannot produce. Nothing wrong with the law, but I'm the one that's disobedient to the law. I am he who is totally guilty. On the other hand, the sinner who will not repent to give God the glory rails at the law of God and says he's unjust and cruel, blasphemes God by saying that God is not a loving God who will punish him in such a manner. Now, I have folks write me, religious folks, pastors. They say, Old Trailblazer, We like you preaching, your old homespun preaching, your old style of preaching, but why don't you preach sometime on the love of God? You're all the time harping on that man is a sinner and that God hates sin and that the law is just and righteous altogether. Why don't you preach John 3:16? A man wrote me the other day and said that. He said, you old fool, why don't you preach John 3:16? And I wrote him back. And I said, Mister, I do preach John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then I preached John 3:17 and 3:18 and 3:19. So I wish you'd go there and read them for yourself and let me see what you think. Oh, but listen, that individual who will not repent finds fault with God's law. But not so with the penitent sinner. He sees the law as good and righteous altogether, and that God would be just if he sent him to hell. Such repentance leads the sinner to Christ. True repentance gives God the glory and adores and justifies and glorifies the Lord in his punishment of sin. Let me give you just a word of testimony. Under conviction, there comes that feeling to everybody, every individual who is under Holy Spirit conviction, that if God did not punish him, he ought to. Oh, you see the justice of God in sending an individual to hell? I do, my friend. I saw, and I'm sure if you're saved, you saw the same thing. I had no quarrel with God and His justice. On the other hand, I saw myself so guilty, having so violated the law of God, until I did not understand, nor do I now, how that God could save such a wretch as I am, or why He should love such a wretch as I am. I spoke the other night in the service on the miracles of God. Just thinking of miracles. And you know, folks run there and they say, well, turning the water into wine and opening the ground for court. No, I wasn't talking about that. No, I wasn't speaking about that. I was speaking about how that the Lord miraculously can take an old sinner, steeped in sin, wanting His way, wanting to have His own way, born in sin, conceived in iniquity, and how the Lord set His love upon this poor old sinner, like me, and like you if you know the Lord. Did you know salvation is personal? It's personal, my friend. Well, we all going to the same place? No, no, we're not. No, we're not, my friend. Listen, every sinner who truly repents comes to see and to take his place as a guilty sinner before God. He comes to see that he deserves to go to hell. He may not express it in the same manner that the old trailblazer does, but you see that you should have been punished. If you know the Lord, you can look back and see why the Lord should have punished you. Listen, such repentance glorifies the justice of God. God's word says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 just persons. It rejoices the heart of the triune God when a poor old sinner, guilty, hell-deserving, takes his place before God, and as a lost sinner justifies God in everything and does not blame God for one thing in the world. Now, my friend, have you ever taken the blame like that, to where there's no one else to blame but yourself? True repentance gives God the glory because it glorifies the sovereignty of God in His mercy. Now, my friend, one of the blessings that I've had here lately, after the storm went through the city of New Orleans so severely and messed up so many things, and I got out a newsletter to many of our folks who hear this broadcast and had never written here, but they had sent a dollar or two or 50 over the years. So I just sent out a newsletter telling folks about what had happened in our position here, and I began to get mail back from pastors who had listened and heard the broadcast, the old trailblazer, Pastor L.R. Shelton, The Voice of Truth, and other broadcasts. And several wrote me and said, Pastor, from your messages, printed and spoken, I see that you are a sovereign grace preacher. You preach the sovereignty of God. Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, we surely do. We don't go to seed on any doctrine, no. We preach all the doctrines of God. We preach the total depravity of man. We preach the soon coming of Christ. We preach the love of God. But listen, my friend, such a sinner realizes that he should go to hell. I wish every awakened soul out there today who hears the old trailblazer, that you would realize that you do not now, nor ever will, have the right to the mercy of God. Mercy wouldn't be mercy if you deserved it. No, listen, my friend. Listen, the truly repentant sinner also knows and realizes that God has a sovereign right as King of Kings to execute the sentence of the law if he wants to. The awakened, repentant sinner who realizes that great fact must leave himself absolutely in the hands of a sovereign God to either forgive him for Christ's sake or execute the sentence of the law, which is death. If the sinner never comes to that place, which is a place of grace, he never gets saved. He must come to the place where he leaves himself as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner in the hands of a sovereign God, my friend, either to pardon him or to damn him, either to forgive him or send him on to hell. Have you ever come there, my friend? Have you ever come there? If not, I don't care who you are, what you are. You may be, I'm a free will Baptist. I'm a hard shell Baptist. I'm a this, I'm a that. I'm a Church of Christ. I'm a this, I'm a that. I don't care, my friend. How ridiculous you are. Listen, you're not saved if you've never have repented. Listen, God claims is absolutely sovereign in the realm of grace to do as he pleases with his own. And you cannot change that decree of God no matter how you try. Do you know, my friend, that we can only trust absolute authority with God? And do you know that the absolute authority of God, there is a hope for the most guilty sinner and the most violent of men? Folks sometimes accuse me of preaching things that I don't preach. But one of the things that this ministry stands for, that there's no one too guilty to be saved. There's no one past the mercy of God. Did you know what sin sends most people to hell? Self-righteousness. Oh, I've dealt with the bums and the derelicts and the harlots in the city of New Orleans. Do I look down my nose at them? No, sir, and no, ma'am, because they're 9 times more honest than the average high society person. They will let you know right quick that they are a sinner and that they have sinned against the holy God. They may only know it intellectually, but that's a good starting place, my friend. Oh, listen, I love the homeless. I've helped feed them. I've helped clothe them there in the city of New Orleans. And one thing I regret now, I'm not able to do that. But maybe we can start that ministry again. Oh, listen, my friend. Don't look down your nose at some poor old soul. Look at Rahab, the harlot. She was a harlot. Some of you young people, you know what a harlot is? That's a woman that's strayed and given up her husband and given up everything and went off hankering after the world and had an adulterous affair. Oh, and then we want to blame the adulterer, adulteress. But what about the men? And that's one of the things that gets my dander up. We have many, many families, especially in the city of New Orleans, where there's no daddy. And I tell folks, don't look down at that poor girl. Don't look down because she's got 2 or 3 little old children. Look down at that skunk who got her pregnant. Look down at that devil who did that and then walked off and left her with no support in the state and the city and you and I having to support her. But my friend, that man will just wind up in hell if he never repents. That woman, that lady, that girl is far more likely to be saved than that skunk. I can't hardly take it, my folks. I can't take it. The old trailblazer gets righteously indignant when it comes to a man having babies by a woman and then walking off and leaving them. I don't have no time for you. I think they ought to publish a picture on the front page of the morning paper. 365 days out of the year, have a whole page full of them. This man deserted his wife and children, and over there on the other side of town now got another woman and 2 or 3 little old children, and then left her. That's right. And then devils. Hell won't be hot enough. You talking about hell? It won't be hot enough for those fellas who abandon those children, my friend. Abandon some poor little, I've seen poor little old mentally retarded girls pregnant. Oh, my friend, those things tear me up. They tear me all to pieces. And I wonder if there's any mercy for them. But yet, as long as there's breath, there's mercy. But the Lord doesn't pick out one here and one there. No, he doesn't overlook the bad ones and pick out the good ones. No, look at the old demon-possessed man there at Gadara. Old Legion. I'd like to meet old Legion one day. I believe I will. We'll walk up and sit down on the shade of a tree and talk about him. How long he was demon-possessed. He said the Lord came by and cast the demons out. I said, well, he did that to me, Mr. Legion. Same way he did the old trailblazer. Cast out those demons. Only yours was more a public than mine. But my friend, I wish I could stay longer with you. Wish I could come out there, meet you somewhere, and take lunch with you or drink a cup of coffee. And maybe one day I'll do that. If you'd like to do that, you let me know. And would you ask the Lord for me day by day? It takes grace to be true to souls. It takes a lot of grace to be true to the souls of your loved ones, your family, your friend. And then you folks, I call you my friends out there in my radio audience. Many of you have written me, told me about yourself. Many of you sent me pictures of your family. I wish you'd keep doing that. If you would, I appreciate it. But now let me give you my email address. It's pastor@radiomissions.org. And my website is just radiomissions.org. And then my mailing address, still the same, the old trailblazer. Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. And let me ask you one favor in closing. Would you pray for me? If you will, write me and let me know, you old truckers. Write me, and I'll be glad to send you some good literature. Remember, pray for me. Goodbye, and God bless you.